I'm Cape.
And I'm Drew.
We're just two former student athletes who understand the game.
Not just on the court.
But in life.
At the end of the day, we just want to help.
Today's athletes and former just trying to find their way.
It's bigger than sports.
This is the Cape and Drew podcast. The real TikTok. What's going on, everybody? I'm Cape.
I'm Drew.
We are back for episode 26, Load Management. And I'm pretty sure everybody that's been following basketball specifically knows what it means, but we just want to get right into it, man. It's a lot of controversy going on with load management and the term itself, but, you know, it's basically when guys are basically sitting out, and it's really no injury reason. It's just that it's exactly what it sounds like. It's like they're preserving their bodies for long term. They're not really injured. They could have played I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, but Kawhi Leonard doesn't play like back-to-backs or something.
Yeah.
And they kind of deem it as load management. But what people really don't understand is that, or forget about, is like, you remember Greg Popovich for the Spurs was doing this back in 2012?
Mm-hmm. With Duncan and Ginobili and them and Parker.
Yes. And it wasn't catching a lot of flack back then, a little bit, but now it's really catching a lot of flack because, you know, Kawhi Leonard is one of the top NBA guys in the league, top five for sure. And, you know, he's just sitting out and nobody knows, there's no report of any real injury from my understanding. And it's just like, he's chilling.
Yeah. And they weren't making a big deal about it when Pop did it because like no one was paying top dollar to come see Tim Duncan. Right. And two, when they did it, they'll be playing against teams like the Bobcats. And so it wasn't like, it didn't make headlines. And I'm trying to remember when it really, really started getting going. I think when LeBron, remember he sat out like that 2 weeks?
With Miami?
Yep. And then what would happen would be like, you know, you're thinking this guy, when you see guys like not playing in games, right, you expect them to be like flu game Jordan, right, throwing up and like on crutches but when you see guys in hot tubs like laughing and joking, you're like, yo, man, I just blew $150 on these game tickets and my man's in the jacuzzi.
right.
And so you start to get a little frustrated. So I thought that's where it started picking the momentum and you start seeing like more and more teams actually do it. And I get the concept of like why teams do it as far as like all that wear and tear on your body and stuff. But, you know, I just know I'm not trying to pay my money to see James Jones
Yeah, I know, right? And so I was doing some research and I just read what the NBA kind of came out and said after like a lot of controversy or whatever. It's basically as a result, the NBA has tried to clarify its rules on resting players as well as using the term load management. In a memo, the league indicated to teams that they are no longer allowed to say that players are sitting out due to load management. If they use that designation, they will be in violation of the league's resting policy and subject to subsequent fines. The short version, load management is now rest, period. If you see that term, it will mean a healthy player is taking the night off. If skipping that particular game violates the league's resting policy, that player's team will be penalized. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like just words because how do you regulate that? You know what I mean? Because this article is November 26th. So what's that, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I want to say, guys, I just remember maybe it wasn't within the 2 week span, but Kawhi set out on a big game. Like, I believe he set out like right when Paul George came back, he set out a big game. They were playing somebody. Maybe it was Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And people were like, why are you sitting out this game? Even if you got a nagging, like, guys would want to get up for this game. And now, mind you, we ain't but like a month into the NBA season, not even at the time. But, you know, people want to see that marquee matchup.
Man, it's kind of crazy to me because, like you said, like, it just sounds like words because, I mean, the team ultimately is going to protect the team. So of course they'll say, oh yeah, he you know, he bumped knees in this practice, or he's got a twisted ankle, it's kind of coming back up. Like, who's to say that they're telling the truth?
Exactly. How did you gauge that?
And so, I don't know, man. For me, I kind of like don't even really take it into consideration anymore as far as like, man, they might be hurt, but I know those guys are like focused on like the playoffs, which is cool. Right. I get it. But I mean, you have to keep in mind, you're still in the business of entertainment. And I think that's what's getting lost, that like Beyonce is not about to take a concert off because, you know, she got the Grammys coming up. Or, you know, I'm not going to do this specific tour date that I have literally signed up for, I have a contract for, because I have a beer one venue next week.
Right. And that is a genius example, because it's really what it is, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment. And from a fan's perspective, I'm just envisioning myself. Let's say me and you plan a guy's trip with our sons, and we're going to see the Lakers and doggone the Clippers play. We done flew out to LA, we took our sons, and we get there. We you got to buy your tickets in advance, you know. So we buy tickets like 2 months in advance. We plan it out. We fly our sons out there. Guy's trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we fly out there and we land in LA. We get an alert. Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Paul George sitting out. Load management.
Trip is an immediate wash.
Exactly.
And dog, that's kind of what happened with us before. Like, it's kind of made me lose my like real like love for the NBA, man, when I think it was like my birthday and we drove to Charlotte because LeBron was playing the Heat, and we had known like, yeah, damn, LeBron took that 2 weeks off. He wasn't even there.
That's right. I forgot about that, dog. What was that? That was like four years ago.
Yeah, I was kind of like good on the NBA, man, because it was like, even though, crazy thing is, we got those tickets for free, but it was just the fact that like, yo, like, you're not even coming to the arena, fam.
Right. Like, it would have been nice to see you in a bench.
Yeah, I would have came early and saw you get a pregame workout. So after that, man, I was just like, you know what, man, y'all got it, because right then and there, I knew like, yo, me spending my money, right, to go to an arena that's hours away and you're not there, security's gonna have to come calm me down.
Dog, because we was there because K-Love played, right? Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. Did Kyrie play?
Kyrie played, but it was just like,
it wasn't LeBron.
Yeah, it wasn't LeBron. And I've seen LeBron play before, and it's like, yeah, it was worth it.
Yes, yeah, and the Hornets sucked.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they had on their team.
Man, so.
Yeah. And so from a fan perspective, I think we both get it and we see it. But now let's talk about it from, you know, the player's perspective. Like, mm-hmm. Let's put ourselves in Kawhi's shoes or any other superstar shoes where, you know, now, mind you, Kawhi's had some nagging injuries. You know, I think he had a shoulder or knee. I know Paul George had the shoulder, but I think Kawhi's been dealing with a consistent knee pain or knee injury. And, you know, the Clippers are thinking long-term, like, let's give our best player I think Paul George is the best player, but that's another conversation. But let's give our star guy, some load management. Let's preserve him for the playoffs, because they're going to make the playoffs. We all know that. And you want your best guys to be in their best condition and best shape. So as a player, right, like you said, you bring up a great example, the flu game for Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. I remember Jordan growing up as a kid, guys like that. I don't remember Jordan or any of those top guys ever taking a night off because of load management. Like, I just remember guys not playing if they were like literally on crutches or, you know, sick or something. And so now you hear these guys and, you know, they're making all this money. You know, everybody's saying they're making all this money. And you mean to tell me you can't get out up there and run up and down? But from a player's perspective, this is the difference, though. Man, these guys don't take time off in the offseason. That's the big thing. And they grew up playing AAU ball their whole lives, so they don't take no time off. With Jordan and then was playing 36 holes of golf in the summer and didn't touch a ball to like a month or 3 weeks before the season started. So it's a different animal.
I think it's a different animal, but I also think too, man, that mindset of you have guys back then, they were like, yo, I'm going to give it all to the organization, right? And they're going to, you know, take care of me. And there's been so many stories since then to where guys have been kind of like shafted a little bit to where that trust level has been like, there's no trust within really between players and organizations. Like Kawhi doesn't trust anybody just from what happened with the Spurs, right? And so you get that part, but at the same time, like I'll give Paul George credit because he played last year with two torn rotator cuffs. They could barely lift his shoulders up. So I give PG, like, you know, like, yeah, you gutted that out. And I think now players are more so looking towards like, man, I'm not finna be limping around in my late 30s because I tried to give the organization everything I had. And I'm like, hey, that's cool. No problem, fam. But hey, let me throw this at you. So let's like, let's say you do all that, right? You take care of your body. If you're feeling too pressured to play, you'll sit it out, no problem. But can we put something in a contract to where everyone on your team, right? It could be coaching staff, it could be everybody, the managers, trainers. Will y'all take a portion of your game check and donate that back to reimburse fans for the night? Because there is no like, yo, Kawhi can't be like, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just one man on this team. Like, nah, fam, you know that you're the guy. There are people coming to see you play. So if you sit out, will you take a portion? Everyone on the team got to sign off on this, take a portion of game check to reimburse fans for the night. Like, and I'll be good with that. Like, yo, cool.
Yeah.
Think about, like, if we went to a game, like you said, LeBron, AD, none of them were playing, but we got reimbursed for our game tickets.
Yeah.
We still be mad, but we'd be like, all right, cool.
we'll feel a little bit better. Yeah. We'll definitely feel better.
Now, if NBA guys didn't sign off on that, be like, nah, fam, we ain't doing that. I'd be like, yo, y'all mad selfish.
Right. It's all about the bag.
Yeah, like, I'll be like, you know what? I ain't watching this no more, man. Because what other fair, like, trade-off is that?
There is none. And I'll tell you something else. You notice only guys that have definitely secured the bag.
Yeah. Do this.
Like, you're not seeing guys within their first 3 years, you know, it's you know, they not chilling out. You don't hear no, like, Dante Graham, for instance. He rolling right now, by the way. Shout out to him in North Carolina, baby. But he rolling right now. But if he ain't about to be like, I need some rest, coach. Because he's trying to prove himself. You got guys that have, like, Kawhi has definitely secured the bag. LeBron has secured the bag. And even LeBron came out and said, like, there is no load management. If I'm able to play, I'm able to play. And we'll see. Well, you know, hopefully that stays consistent. But I would imagine if they have secured the one or two spot in the West towards the end of the season, that he'll cheer. And that's just smart, by the way. You know, ain't no reason to play if they don't won 60-something games. But anyway, my point is, it's all circumstantial. If you've secured the bag, those guys that have signed those $100-plus million, $200 million contracts, those are the ones they're talking about load management. It ain't them first three-year guys or, like, the guys that are still trying to prove themselves. So that's important to say because, you know, when them first 3 years, man, you'll go out there and play with a torn meniscus because you're trying to secure the bag.
Yeah, and it's too, like, you know, what you said, It's understandable when y'all are like, you know, 15 games out of the playoffs. As far as like, we solidified our spot and we're trying to prepare now for the playoffs.
Yeah,
but we talk first 2 months of the season.
Yeah,
you're like, it's getting a little tough. And it's like, man.
Yeah, because Kawhi sat out. He was there with some of my lowest management like the second week of the season. I want to say, and so it was just kind of like, you know, whatever, but. And I sent you this as soon as I saw it too on social media. I got Larry Sanders. Shout out to you, Larry. BCU was goody. You know, if you all don't know his story, Larry's a former NBA guy who basically, from his words, left the NBA because they weren't helping him, or he felt like he needed more assistance. And the way the league was set up, they don't put enough focus on the mental health and well-being of athletes. So he thought it was in his best interest from a holistic standpoint just to walk away. And when it happened, we talked about on the show, we both thought he was crazy to do so, to walk away from the money. And he was seemingly, you know, about to start really rolling in the NBA and get paid even more. But as Larry stated, you know, it was just time for him to go. He had to take care of himself. But in relation to what we're talking about, he came out on Instagram and, you know, he was saying this, and I quote, he said, and again, this is related to Kawhi. He says, see, this is why I left the league in the first place. And this is the F-S I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. People don't know what we come from or go through. You think just because you're throwing this man some bread, he's not supposed to have issues in his mind anymore? I don't understand. We are not superheroes. We are human beings with issues, especially 90% of the league, being that we come from these tarnished communities and we grew up with all this trauma. It's just effed up how we are being handled. The S got to change, end quote. Mm-hmm. And so from his perspective, a guy that played in the league, a guy that, you know, he made it to where we all try to go. And he's got, of course, the inside perspective. And, you know, he's obviously an advocate for guys being able to take care of themselves. And me and you don't know what these guys go through. We don't, we never will. And it's just something that internally guys that know that played, you know, the travel, the dealing with the pressures of the game, the injuries, the mental component, trying to perform, trying to get your bag, dealing with things we couldn't even probably fathom. And so hearing that, I was like, dang, maybe I'm being too much of a fan right now. Maybe I need to take a chill pill and realize that these guys, because he says something like, we're not superheroes, but sometimes we think they are, you know?
I get everything he's saying. And it's not even like I got no type of disagreement. Like, I'm like, yeah, man, you're 100% right. I think, man, there's so much the players and the organization are combating heads so much, but who ultimately pays the price for that are the fans. Because it's like, yo, I know y'all are having some disagreements, but we came here for you, and now we're the ones. And so that's why I said, like, cool, man, like, take care of yourself, no issue at all. But like I said before, would you still sit out those games if you had to, like, reimburse a percentage of that game check, had to go to the fans? And yeah. Then, man, I also think the more and more that money is involved, the less and less that humane factor matters.
Great point.
And it's like, that's where the NBA is now, man, because they're crossing that threshold of, like, it might already be there, of like in a billion-dollar industry.
Oh yeah, they're there, been there.
So you start when you got that amount of dollars, and you're always trying to, you know, what's better than $1 billion? $2 billion. So that stuff takes sacrifice, and like that humane factor starts to go out the window more and more. So yeah. I think now you're starting to see guys like, yo, man, I still want to be treated like a person. And like, yeah, it's getting lost because there's so much money involved.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I'm about to go to the bottom of the ocean on this one. Check me out here. Pre, like, today's date, let's just say pre-2005, 10, and I could be way off, but going back to the 80s, like Jordans and them, Zeke, Charles Barkley, da-da-da-da, all these guys. See, back then, basketball was the moneymaker. Like, you had about three or four guys that was really getting paid off endorsements. Maybe. You know, Jordan, Charles, Magic, Bird, right? A couple other guys. Now, guys are like, the NBA money is cool, but I got this thing called social media now. I got this platform. I got this place where I can control my narrative, and I can make so much more money off my own with the click of a button. Mm-hmm. And so guys probably are just seeing a bigger picture early on. Like, I'm gonna get this money, but at the end of the day, see, and we talked about it. guys didn't do a lot of investments back in the day like they do now, or they didn't do a lot of business entrepreneurship as they're doing now, which is a beautiful thing, because back then, of course, there was no, the internet wasn't popping like that and social media. So I think that's a variable in all of this. Like, you think about it, you, let's say you secure your $80 million to $100 million after you one of them guys, you start looking like, man, you know, I got a little tweak, or I just need some time off, man, because I got about 3-4 restaurants down in Phoenix. You know, I got this investment over here. I'm in the tech now. You start looking at things like, basketball is my foundation, don't get me wrong, but man, I got this business, I got this thing I can't even share right now that's in my mind. And so, but back then, again, I'm playing with the flu. I'm playing with this little torn meniscus because I'm trying to see. I think the expansion of people's minds now is a variable that needs to be talked about in this load management too. I could be crazy, but I just feel like once these guys realize that they can, like, literally, they literally can control their narrative now, it's like there's just so many platforms. They're like, yo, and they got so much money that turns into more money, that turns into more money, and they're woke. They're like, I got it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a chill tonight, man. I don't really feel like playing.
I can see what will start to happen is, man, those guaranteed contracts are going to start getting cut back. And so, for instance, like, we got, even with, like, the generation students we work with, they got all these big plans, and it's like, whoa. You still got to do this, though. And it's like, it's still, like, NBA guys, like, yeah, man, I'm about to do all this. I'm about to do all this. And it's like, hey, whoa. You still have to excel right here first, and then, but we are paying you off the potential of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think what's going to start, it's probably years and years down the line, but it's like, okay, let's cut back on these max contracts, because I don't know if I'm going to give you, I don't know if I'm going to get 5 years max effort out of you. So I give you a max contract.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah.
I could totally see that. Yeah, I could totally see that happening, because at the end of the day, it always comes back to dollars and cents and investment. And so if a guy is trended, like, his part of his reputation is that he can't play back-to-backs, you know, what is that? You know what I mean? Like, what you mean? And especially, like again, Kawhi, don't know him, don't know his situation, but he's with the Clippers. The Clippers are going to make the playoffs regardless. They're going to, if Paul George is out there with the rest of them guys, he can chill. But let's say Kawhi was in freaking Minnesota. Like, would he chill? Could he chill like that and everybody be okay with that? You know what I mean? And all of this is circumstantial to me. And I see both sides. I think we both see both sides. But I tell you, man, if I pay them, if we take a trip, I'm imagining us going to the club, to a Laker game, going to see the Clippers, me, you taking Landon and Daniel, and they talking about they not playing. The reimbursement would be cool, don't get me wrong, but still.
I'm going to be mad, but I ain't going to, you know, I might still catch a few games, but I'll just be, because the experience is.
Yeah.
Taking the experience from me.
Right. And we'd make the best of it. And I do understand what Larry is saying. I think Larry is speaking from his truth and his experience, and that's fair. And like I said, we don't know all the ins and outs. We have a perspective and some opinions about all of that, but, you know, he's lived it. So what about the college ranks, man? What's going on there?
It was funny, man, because I saw this little thing, man, where they asked – they asked Archie Miller, he's the coach at Indiana. Mm-hmm. They were like, you know, do you believe in load management? And he kind of was like, load management? Like, no, that's the dumbest thing ever. Because at the college level, it's more so based on, like, the institution kind of protecting that player. Mm-hmm. So you think, you know, in college, what guys, I think maybe in football, you start seeing that, like, when the guys are, like, juniors, and they could be the number one pick, like Javion Clowney from South Carolina. Right. Man, that year, his last year, man, he coasted because he knew he was gonna be number one pick.
Yeah,
and everybody was kind of mad at him and all this other stuff. But it's crazy because you take that situation And then you compare it to the situation with the Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama, the quarterback. And you think, man, he just got that. He had his hip, a hip injury, like similar to Bo Jackson, like that same when he got drove to the ground. And, you know, we don't know if he's going to be the same player. They don't know if it affected his draft stock. But now everyone's talking like, you know, the institution should have had more of a protected him type of, you know, approach because, yeah, he had that hip injury, but he also had two ankle injuries and two surgeries the past 2 years. And one of the surgeries was like maybe 2-3 weeks prior to that hip injury. And so it's kind of one of those things where they said they were putting a lot of flack on Nick Saban. And Nick Saban was at a conference, like, you know, I asked him, you know, could he go? And he said yes. It's like, man, of course he's going to say yes. Like, in college, you're so used to that next man up. Like, he could have said okay and never got his spot back.
and that's happened here.
And so it's one of those things, man. We think back when we were in school, if coach would have asked us if we could go, we were like, yeah.
Yes.
Trying to sit out because I'm trying to get to the next level. So, I mean, it's kind of more so put on the institution to protect the guys. Like, Tua, in that game, he didn't have to play. Like, he wasn't going to improve his draft stock. He was already a top pick. They were probably going to beat that team. It was really no need for him to even play.
Yeah, I saw the interview last weekend with him and his mom that they did. And I remember I texted you. I said, yo, he's about to come on. I don't know if you checked it out. But, like, he was talking about how, like, of course the question is, do you see yourself coming back or are you still, like, going to try to go to the league? And he's like, well, you know, we got to see where I'm at. You know, right now I'm just taking it day by day and all of that. He was like, and to be honest with you, you know, I don't, you know, depending on where teams rank me now, like, the first round, second round, like, who knows? And, you know, potentially I could have lost millions of dollars with this injury. And now I have to go back and focus on, you know, and, you know, basically showing the world I still can do what I do. And you talking about a guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, this dude has been the people's champ for 2 years, 2.5 years. And he was going to be, wouldn't you say, a top three, top five pick? Would you say that?
Yep.
Now you're talking about this injury, and that's just sports, right? We're all, they all an injury away from, especially in college before you secure the bag, not getting paid at all and working at a gas station potentially. Mm-hmm. So, well, not this, you know, just, you know, hypothetically speaking, but this guy, what I noticed about this guy is first time I really paid attention to him. Like, he seems like a really, really solid dude and his perspective. And then they turned the camera to his mother and his mother was just crying. And he was just, I'm thinking she was crying because she felt like that the college didn't protect him. But she wasn't. She was just saying, you know, we just thank God that Tua is who he is. He's been this way. Like, regardless, I know he's going to be fine. I know he's going to be great. That's a special situation.
Yeah.
Imagine the dude, because he seems like a well-groomed, well-brought-up kid. Think a two-parent household, all these things. I feel like he's going to be fine regardless. What about the kid that coming from inner city Chicago? Dirt poor. Mom working 2-3 jobs. Dad ain't been in the picture. And this, we ain't making this up. This is just, this is real. What about the guy that ain't so polished and was dependent on being that top five pick, and now he's got this Bo Jackson injury? What now? What are we talking about? You know what I mean? And so as an institution, of course, like you said, Nick Saban, I asked if he could play. Of course he's going to say he can play, dude. You're the adult in the room. If my son says he wants a lollipop at 7 in the morning, it's my job to say, you can't have a lollipop, son. I mean, it's the who's the adult in the room here. And so I totally am all for these guys, especially in college. You remember Johnny Storey? And I mean, we talked about him. Johnny was one of the best athletes I've ever seen in person. This dude was 6'4", chiseled, athletic, just solid. And you remember he quit the team because he felt like he was being rushed back. And at the time, we was like, man, Johnny, stop tripping. Like, come back. But I get it now. Like, and I'm not saying Johnny was going to get drafted or anything, yeah. but still, like, it's just that whole narrative of
that, like, it's that humane factor, man. Like, you think college athletics, man, it's turned into a machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a machine, like, running. And no one really ever takes that time to be like, hey, man, how are you feeling? It's more so like, nah, it's data shows someone from your body magnitude could be back from an injury in this amount of time with doing this treatment. So here's what we're going to do. I need you here, I need you on this, that. And if anyone who's had, who's been in like that physical rehabilitation, it is the most grueling thing ever. So, and no one's asking you like, hey man, how was your day? Everybody's yeah. like, oh, you ready? Stretched? Go. Cool. About to get this good after it.
Yeah, and then it's the whole thing too. That is so true. I'm just had flashbacks of like Todd begging me to you. But it's that whole narrative too of the culture, not even the narrative and culture. Man, you soft, yo. Man, you ankle sprain, man. That was 2 weeks ago, man. A knee injury, dog. You ain't but 19, man. What are you talking about, man? Go put some ice on that. Put some stem on that. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, nobody knows your body like you. And as a 19-year-old or even as a competitor, you don't want to lose your spot. So you're like, man, I'm going to push through this. And then your psyche is the most important thing, because you're also in a space like, man, I ain't being a man right now. You know, this whole masculine thing. Or even if you're a woman, it's like, man, let me toughen up. Let me get out there, because you know the next person up, you know that you could lose your spot, or you're on a scholarship at the end of the day. You like, yo, I ain't trying to lose this scholarship, man. Even and that crosses your mind all the time. I don't care what nobody says. You think about those things and think about how this is your ticket. And an injury, man, my mom can't, she don't want to hear me thinking, talking about my knee hurt, or I'm trying to get my people out of my situation. I can't be talking about I got this neck nerve injury in my thing.
That's like one of the biggest things that we're going to touch on, like when we talk to different schools, as so far as like, you think about all that pressure and anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got to do this because of the main thing of like, that's all you ever have known.
Yes.
To be successful. So it's like, that's just doubles the amount of stress and anxiety it brings, because like, yo, if all I know is how to shoot this jumper, and you mean to tell me that I can't lift my shoulder up right now? I'm probably like, I got a million different things going on in my head. Like, yo,
you freaking out.
Yeah. What am I about to do?
Yes, you're freaking out. Nobody really understands, like, I don't think the outside world understands how athletes are really, really wired. And we're wired in a way, especially I can only imagine what the pros are like, because they're that real 1%. They're wired, no pain. And that leads us into something that I saw, Santana Moss, that I saw, and I sent it to you immediately. And I could not believe this story, man. So Santana Moss, and the reason I know Santana Moss is because my mother-in-law, she's a big Redskins fan, and she used to love this guy. And, you know, he was, of course, he was just a freakish athlete, man, and small guy, but he just was just one of those guys that was just so fast, stronger than he looked, all of that. But anyway, so he was on this, I forget this show, I saw it online, and he was talking about a situation back in 2007 when he was with the Redskins. And, you know, for those that don't know, Redskins are big rivalries with the Cowboys, right? And so he had like a banged up heel injury after he played the Jets. And Dan Snyder, who's the owner of the Redskins, comes down to the training room the week, like early in the week leading up to the Cowboys game. And he asked Santana if he was good and was he going to be able to play, you know, since it was Cowboys week. And it was, you know, a huge game. And Santana was like, I had to see how I feel. And so Snyder, the owner, was like, what do you need, like, to help you get through? He said, well, when I was with the Jets, I took a Vicodin and a Toradol and played lights out football. And so Snyder said, well, we need to do that. We need to get you that ASAP. And so for those that don't know, Vicodin is like just, it's just Vicodin and Toradol. It's just basically medication. It's like a high profile Tylenol to take the pain away. A lot. And I'm speaking in layman's terms, it's much more powerful than that, but it basically numbs injuries and you're able to kind of just push through. Right. And so Snyder was like, take the next couple of days off on the Friday before the Sunday game. They're at practice and, you know, Fridays, 2 days leading up to games, like a walkthrough. But they cut, like, he's this is him telling the story. They cut his shoe out, the heel part of his shoe out, just to see, because his foot couldn't fit in his regular size shoe because it was swollen so bad. And this is 2 days before the game. So anyway, Sunday comes. Moss said he took like the first bus over to the practice field before everybody else. He gets out there and they deem this game the Hennessy game, right? And I'm finding out, by the way, that this is a culture within the NBA and NFL where guys like drink before the game to kind of nerve, take the nerve off, and after the game to bring their adrenaline down. But that's a whole nother topic right now. So just follow me for a second. So he takes a Gatorade ball, because normally they would just take a shot of Hennessy. So he takes a Gatorade bottle, fills up half the bottle of his Gatorade bottle with Hennessy, right? Drinks it. Said he felt great. Snyder sees him on the field early and asks him how he feels. He says, man, I feel great. I'm ready to play. Let's do this. Right? Like, he don't feel no pain. And he hadn't even taken the Viking in the Toradol yet. Right before he goes out to the field, the Hennessy wore off, right? The Hennessy wore off. So he's about to run out onto the field. And he's like, man, I don't feel right. I feel crazy. So he took the Vicodin and the Toradol right before the game. And he said he zoned out to a point where he felt like he could hear a pin drop in this stadium. That's how much he zoned out after taking these pills. So he had like 100 yards receiving. They lost the game on the last play. The way he tells us that the quarterback threw the ball, and it was like, if he would have threw it a little bit different, he would have caught it and the game would have been over. And he talked about how after that game, how, you know, the team respected him more. Dan Snyder, the owner, his teammates were like, man, we appreciate you laying it all out on the line and being a soldier, basically, for, you know, going out there and playing. And, you know, this is back in 2007. So fast forward now Toradol is actually banned from the NFL. And it's banned because guys got addicted to it. And Santana actually talked about how, you know, guys, or he felt like for a long time that he couldn't play without it. He couldn't play without this drug. And so they banned it because they found that guys were getting addicted to it. And he made a very, very profound statement. I want us to talk about this. You know, he says, we play this game knowing what some of the things that we are going to go have to deal with, whether it's the rest of our lives or just for that moment. And so I feel like some of this stuff comes with the game. So we got to suck it up. And whatever allows us to play the game, as long as it's not legal, you just got to do what you got to do. And I'm like, yo, man, wait a minute. Because that's coming from the top down to this player, like, yo, let's do what we got to do. And if your boss, essentially he's the boss, says that to you, what you going to do?
Yeah, I'm thinking now, man, like, we never felt like we needed, like, load management in college. But I think back to, like, I didn't even feel like ibuprofen even worked until I got like 5 years out of school where I could actually feel it. But I know when I hurt my back, if somebody would have been like, yo, you could, they were like, it's basically an injury to where it's like a threshold of pain type of injury. And I was like, really? Because I can't walk. So, but if somebody would have gave me a shot and I would have like had like what Santana Moss took, I probably would have took it because I felt that pressure of, I need to get back immediately. Yeah, I definitely probably would have took it. And you don't think, you're not thinking years down the line. You're not even thinking about getting addicted. All you're thinking about is they're treating me like I have the plague because I'm injured. they start treating you like it's your fault. It's like, yo, I don't want to be hurt. And it's almost like they start looking at you like, man, we have to pay Todd $5,000 a week. And they start looking at you like, oh, you're killing my pockets. And you're like, yo, what? Because yeah. they start looking at you like they're not getting a return on their investment.
Yes, man. I feel like, and just for the listeners out there, Todd is was our trainer back at BCU, man. Mm-hmm. And Todd was cool, man. He's just a little weird guy, man. But he was our trainer. And I do, man, I remember you getting hurt. And I just remember how they treated you like, yo, like, man, you still hurt, man? Like, for real? And, like, mm-hmm. when you're on that sideline and you can't do much and you see people rolling, and we talked about it on the show, like, you see your teammates mm-hmm. rolling. And you got coaches really looking at you like you got the plague, or looking at you like they hate your guts because, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just the culture, people. Like, we're not making this up, man. When you're hurt, you feel ignored. You feel neglected. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're on an island by yourself. And all of that, to Larry's point, and I think this is what he's talking about from his perspective, too, is, like, it's the mental side, man. Like, you know, you've been doing this your whole life and now you can't. And to make it worse, people looking at you like they hate your guts, or talking to you like they, like you're not a part of the team anymore. And so that makes you rush to get back, and you'll take a shot. You'll do whatever mm-hmm. it takes to get back. And it's like, dude, take your time. You'll be all right. The team ain't going nowhere, but you feel like literally, you know, that they don't rock with you no more. And the thing, Santana's like, you know, when you play football, we know what we're getting ourselves into. And yeah, that's true. We know football is a violent sport. But this man said he felt like he couldn't play without this drug, man. And you get to that point, and I wonder, you know, I'm always thinking, like, now or in future, how many guys are out there every Sunday or Saturday, college, on something, knowing they're going to need a cane when they're 30?
This is how you know. You start hearing all these different test implications start to come into play. Like, hey, NFL is about to do this type of testing. Hey, and at the Major League Baseball, they're about to start doing opioid testing. And it's like, no suspensions, but treatment will be offered to those failed tests. And it has to, like, resonate. It has to, like, a light bulb has to go off in your head, like, hey, they aren't doing all these tests just to get some survey results. Like, they're doing these tests because this stuff is going on.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And you start seeing guys like, man, like, they didn't just all of a sudden, like, hey, man, let's start testing for opioids. Like, they're seeing stuff firsthand. It's like, hey, we should really get a hold on this, because you start thinking, okay, you got the opioid stuff now, painkillers, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You start thinking 20 years ago when what they used to call him, when Daryl Strawberry was with the Yankees, they would take, yeah, like a fistful of Adderall.
Yes.
And they used to call them, like, focus pills. They said the baseball would come in looking like a grapefruit. So stuff like that, man. Like,
they aren't. And then Daryl Strawberry went to doing what, though?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So exactly.
It's kind of one of those things to where, like, they aren't they didn't just think of this up. Like, hey, let's try this. Like, this, like, yeah, man. We're starting to see, like, this is a problem. Especially just, like, those grueling sports, man, like NFL, like, man.
Hockey.
Yeah. And yeah. So I could definitely see, like, man, it's becoming a problem.
Yeah, and you remember the Al Harrington joint, the knucklehead joint we watched yesterday, and he was talking about how after a win, after a game, you know, guys are, like, literally in the locker room drinking. Because it's the way he talked about it, from a perspective of that adrenaline, bringing that adrenaline down. And cause you're still, you think about this. I never thought about it. This is a good point you made. And this ain't really got nothing to do with low men's, but I thought it was interesting how he talked about, like, guys drink, had their bottles in the locker room right after the game. They drink because they're still, like, so wired from competing at a high level that this is their way to unwind. And so, like, yeah, they take shots or they drink something, because if not, they going to be, like, wired. They might not get no sleep that night, because the game ends at 10:30 or midnight.
Man, remember Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, that's right.
He drove, Or like, I take this in the morning to get me up. I take this for downers to bring me down.
Yes.
And then you think also too, man, like when the saw a documentary when they first started doing like realizing that there was a drug problem in the NBA, like guys would be, they'd be great that night, right? Because and then they do all that stuff. Then after the game, they're doing cocaine, and they're doing this stuff all night. And then that next game, they're like literally like passing out on the floor,
yes,
falling into the stands, and like that's when they started to see, like, yo, and not because, hey man, this guy's a good guy, we don't want to see him going down that path. It was like, yo, this product that we're putting out on the floor is not making money, so we got to do something.
We got to dip this in the bud. You're lightning our pockets, son.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought that was interesting to hear. And that's why I love hearing and watching, like, especially former pros, because now they're free. It seems like they, you know, when you're playing, they're not talking about none of this, because, you know, they don't want to chance they check. But now that they're out, they hear their stories. I'm just like always like, wow, like, you know, because as a kid, you grow up, you watching these guys, you just think they're like all the way across the board, you know, just doing all the right things with their superheroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you hear like guys that played and they're talking about some of the things they do and how they went out like the night before games, got hammered, party, and then they go out the next day, especially like if you play a team like in Miami, right? You go out the night before the game and then you go in the game, and that's why they always joke like Miami got the best home record every year, because guys, when they come into Miami, they go out the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really these guys are human beings, and they're trying, just like me and you, every day trying to cope with the BS and trying to push through the BS and be successful. And whatever that looks like, even at that level, they'll do it. Because, and then you start seeing guys that are successful within the organization that are doing it. You're like, oh, they doing that? They going out the night before the game? Or they popping this before the game? Or they drinking after the game? And they ain't no real OGs in the league no more. That's a whole nother show. They always talk about how it ain't no OGs in the league no more to show people the way. So you got like a 3-year vet, 4-year vet, but he's like 22, 23, schooling that 19-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's like the blind leading the blind.
Yep.
See, that's the culture now too. It ain't no. I think the last OG in the league is like Vince Carter and what's Buddy from Miami. Cool dude, been there forever.
Oh, Udonis Haslem.
Udonis Haslem. Like, it's like two guys that are really trying to, that are OGs and vets that are like showing guys the way. But vets now are considered like 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a vet. And so, to your point, man, it's like, what's next? What's going to be the next generation of guys? Because coaches don't going to only do so much. You need guys in the locker room to say, man, don't pop that, man. Don't do that. Don't do that, man. How you feeling? How you feeling today, man? I noticed X, Y, Z. Kind of like how Dale Davis, not Dale Davis, but
Antonio Davis.
Antonio Davis was doing Al Harrington. You remember how he talked about how he's about to swing on Reggie?
Yeah.
And so just guys to check in with you, man. So but yeah, man, so I think it's important to, you know, talk about this kind of stuff even from the college level and all the way to the pros, because the culture and the expectations from the fans and the culture of athletics, but guys always put those things traditionally before themselves. And I think now what's really shaking the world up is like guys are looking at the big picture and saying, man, these back-to-backs and this, you know, my knee, man, or I just need to take a break, I need to rest. And the NBA is kind of like, or like guys are like, wait a minute, this is new to us. Like, you just supposed to get out there and play. But again, I think that variable of guys having multiple incomes is shaping all this up too. And they're just kind of like, man, like, hey man, regardless, man, I'm gonna be all right. Yay. I make more money than you.
No, this one.
You say what?
Let me get a second opinion on this one.
Yeah, exactly. I know we got a team doctor, but I'm gonna go see my own doctor. My own doctor says I need 2 weeks off, buddy. and I'm Kawhi Leonard. I'm one of one, so you can't replace me. So what are you gonna do? So anyway, man, we just want to make sure that, you know, all the listeners out there, whether you're an athlete or whatever, you always take care of yourself, regardless, emotionally, mentally, physically, man, because nobody gonna take care of you the way you can. And whatever that looks like, just make sure you can. I know I try to practice that in my own personal life, just, you know, by doing little things, being consistent with exercising and trying to eat right. You know, that's a whole another conversation, but just taking care of yourself, read some books, doing this, you know, keeping my mind sharp, or understanding that, you know, mom, dad, ain't nobody gonna take care of me, my wife, my son. I gotta take care of myself. And so as early as you can start putting that into play, just best practices, taking care of yourself, whatever that looks like, do that now and always do that. Because if you are in a team-oriented sport where you feel like you gotta perform, you know, people don't care about you. It's really that simple. So, like we always want to hear, man, just make sure you all continue to follow us on social media at Cape and Drew Podcast. Check out our website at capeanddrew.com. The highest human act is to inspire me. We appreciate y'all. And I'm Cape.
I'm Drew.
We out.